This is the first Sunday for many United Methodist ministers preaching in their newly appointed churches. In the United Methodist system, they don't have a call system. It's an appointment system. So if you were a Methodist, rather than you have a call committee and you interview possible candidates for the vacancy here, the district would know that you have a vacancy, and they would have a pool of, let's say, 25 or 40 possible pastoral candidates. They would pray over it, they would be guided by the Holy Spirit, and then they would call upon you and say, after our prayer and discernment, you are going to be led by Pastor Sally or Pastor Jimmy. And that's how it goes. And in the Methodist Church, the pastoral cycle is July to June. And so this is the first Sunday for many Methodist preachers preaching in their church for the first time. And I remember my first sermon in my first Methodist church, which was Dillsburg Community. And the text that I preached from, I'm going to preach from that today. And I'm going to tell you the reason why, but let's first pray. Father, thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you for the sense of gratitude for our country. Thank you, Father, for the patriotic theme of music. Thank you that, Father, it's your heart's desire that we would understand all the freedoms that we have in this country, and God, that we would be grateful for all those who served in many ways, their lives have given their lives. So we thank you. As we look into your word today, Father, guide us, inspire us to live for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you a little test. So it is the reason why I chose the text, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, was because it talks about freedom. And this is the 4th of July holiday weekend, right? It's the 4th of July holiday weekend. And I'm going to give you a test. Can you name, I saw there were 7 founding fathers. I Googled this, so. Can you name any of the seven founding fathers?
Thomas Jefferson
is one. Jay Adams or John Adams, George Washington? No. You play the music all the time on your at home. Alexander Hamilton is one of the founding fathers. James Madison. Now, if you're a history buff, correct me if I'm wrong here. Let me step back a little bit. We like to watch shows on either Amazon Prime or whatever. And we watched a show a year or two ago called Turn Washington Spies. Have you heard of that show? I strongly recommend watching that show. What it is about, in essence, is George Washington had a spy ring somewhere around Long Island, New York, that provided him very crucial intel. And to a point where if they would not have gotten the intel from this spy ring, we wouldn't be having the 4th of July. And very likely, some of those founding fathers would have been executed for treason. So it was critical. So it's a really intriguing show, and if you want to watch it, I strongly recommend it. I have found the Revolutionary War period interesting. And it's a period of war, obviously. But I have found that I have a Revolutionary War ancestor who was in the Red War, Jacob Schneider. And my sister is laughing at me because I love talking about my genealogy, or our genealogy. I really appreciate these patriotic holidays. I get choked up when I hear some of this music. I get misty-eyed when we're singing God Bless America, because I truly am grateful for this country. I'm truly grateful for those who sacrifice so much. The question that I have for you is it possible, I know it's hot, feel free to do this. I'm going to keep us moving today. Do that. Boy, this book really helps. Here, I'll pass the book around and you can take 5 swipes. works really well. I'm gonna be brief, so hang in there with me. Is it possible to live in a free country the way we do, but still not be totally free? And the answer is yes. Yes, we can live in this wonderful country where we are free, but live in some type of captivity inside and not really be truly free. And that's what the Apostle Paul was referring to when he wrote this section to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. Now, I was going to do a long, detailed theological analysis of this text to breaking down the Greek, but I think after about 20 minutes, I'd be the only one in the room. Maybe Bob and maybe Dan, maybe Jackie. No, not Jackie. She won't be here either. So I'm not going to break it down, but in essence, Paul was saying to those Corinthians, and many of them were converted to Christianity from Judaism, he said, don't keep wanting to go back to the Old Testament with the Ten Commandments. You're tempted to, and there's probably teachers in your midst who are trying to get you to forget about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, but you're being tempted to keep looking back to the Old Testament. Keep looking back to Moses coming down. Now, we talked about this in Sunday school, and the text from Exodus today, we saw Moses would come down, and his face was what? Glowing with the glory of God. And so Paul was saying was, they covered their faces. Moses put a veil over his face. He didn't want them to have to see the glory of God because of their sense of guilt and shame. Right? So what Paul is saying is, hey, everybody, if that was glorious, and it was glorious, if way back when Moses had the Ten Commandments and his face was shining because of the glory of God, if that was a glorious event, and that is now past, how much more glorious is the gospel of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Why, Paul said, the Old Testament and the law of the Old Testament, its purpose was death and condemnation. So if that had some glory, how much more glory with the new covenant, with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives? Paul's saying the letter of the law killed, but in our lives, the life of the Holy Spirit is a much stronger glory. So, where I was going with this text as I studied was really the last three passages of the text. And I'm going to read it. We're going to find it here. I'm going to read it to you. So, like I just set up that, the last three verses starting in 16 is, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What am I saying? What is Paul saying here? He's saying the reason why Moses wore a veil so the Israelites wouldn't see was because of their shame, their guilt, and their sense of unworthiness. But we, in the new covenant, who have the blessing of the Holy Spirit, there is no need for shame. There's no need for guilt. And you say, yeah, but you don't know what went through my mind this week. You don't know my struggle this week. I think I have something to maybe feel shameful about. And I would say, no. No, if you have embraced the gospel, and it says, as we turn to God, then that veil is taken off. And even though we might have a sense of shame, there's no reason because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Your shame is removed. Your guilt is fully removed. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, and it reflects off of you. The two words, the two themes that were jumping out to me were freedom, Are we truly free, and how do we become truly free? And Christian growth. Growth. Are you growing in your Christian walk? Paul says we will grow from glory to glory. We will grow. Are you growing in your Christian faith? It's important for us to be progressing as we grow deeper in the things of God, deeper in God's love, deeper in the Holy Spirit. The more we do that, the shame and the guilt is gone because we understand His glory. That's how I encourage you today. We continue to turn to the Lord. It's just not one time. We continue to have to turn to the Lord, and as we do, that veil is lifted and we behold His glory. And the prison is gone, any prison that we have. Paul was talking about a prison of guilt and condemnation, but really, freedom is freedom. And so I'll just say, anything that is preventing you from being completely free in Christ, where you can experience God in your heart, you can experience the vitality of the Holy Spirit in your life, that takes place as we turn to God and we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think this comes down to one thing. We have a wonderful Lutheran tradition here, and I'm just completely embracing it and finding it very, very appealing and insightful. It is a religious tradition. And at the end of the day, our religion should point us to Jesus. Jesus doesn't point us to our religion. Our religion should point us to Jesus. Amen.